So MAGFest is this week.
MAGFest. It's my first time going.
It's Kevin's first time going.
Congratulations. I've never been myself yet.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. I've gone a few times. I think the first time I went was 2020, ironically. Because it was right before the pandemic had actually started, because MAGFest is in January.
Yeah.
So it was like November when things were really starting to pop off.
It's like the intro to a like pandemic movie, where it's like they show you newspaper articles of just like,
don't go,
strange illness appears in China, and then it's just like, I'm so happy for MAGFest. It's
yeah.
like it.
Yo, it really yeah, felt the like creepy that. Music, the plucking yeah. violin strings, yo, as there's crowds of people all mashed together.
Yo, it really felt like that because I got sick. I don't think it wasn't COVID, but I got sick there.
Yeah, it's a petri dish.
Exactly, right? And I was starting a new job like that month too, so it was basically MAGFest. We'll start working this new job. And like, yeah, the world just kind of went upside down. Like everything looked like it was coming up towny for a bit.
And
then it nosedived.
I don't want to really like cut your legs out from under you, but that also sounds like it fits perfectly with this montage where it's like, and then we're excited for MAGFest, and then it shows all the footage of the people mashed together in MAGFest, and then you come out like feeling kind of sick, but I'm starting a new job, and your hand shaking everyone's hands, and
it's just Detroit on fire, yeah. like in Scary Movie 4. the one of the only good jokes from that fucking movie.
Oh, but, man.
So they've been trying to get me to go for forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not going this year, but I hopefully will go next year. And I said cryptically that I have a goal.
Yeah.
What's your goal?
My goal. You know, usually people going to these things, they cosplay, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, like, I could do a cosplay, but it has to be like something I like, and it needs to be dumb and in like a way, but also yeah. cool. And
it's hard to pull off. It's hard to be the likable, dumb, and cool at the same time.
So initially, I've always thought, like, okay, well, I'm gonna go become a gym boy again and get like kind of buff, you know, look fit.
Mm. Yeah,
and I'll do Joseph Joestar.
Oh, JoJo Mario JoJo would be great.
I still want to do. I like that idea a lot. But then, like, recently, I was like, you know, it's more of a meme. I don't know if people would get it, but I think it'd be really funny, for me anyway, is if I still get buff, or buffer, and then Dagother.
Dagother, I would be so happy if you went as Dagother in that dumb fucking helmet.
If I can convince someone to... Doesn't matter how much effort they put in. It just needs to be clear that they are supposed to be an Argonian, and they have a boombox, and they play the Dagoth vaporwave, the Dagoth wave the song as an anthem occasionally.
Let me pitch you a.
And I'll have to like try to learn a dance, or you know what, the weird clip movements he does in that video. But yeah,
let me pitch you something.
Really stupid and fun.
I ship Dagother.
So, I don't know if the meme will survive into the far-off future of more than 2 days from now, but what do you think about, like, your Dagother, and then someone else is just carrying, like, a chest-mounted camera with, like, a border around it that makes it look like when your hands go in front of it, it looks like you're the player in Skyrim. So all the video looks like it's player footage, and then there's Dagother there.
A fantastic idea. Is it feasible? I don't... Probably not.
You know what I mean?
I don't know if we have the means or skill to do that, but...
I feel like that's not that hard.
If we could, if you're volunteering, let's workshop it, you know?
Yeah,
it's a year from now, so... Yeah.
That's a lot of time to learn how to strap a camera to my chest.
You know? And I do have a friend who works in the industry, so... You know?
Oh, man, who picks and picks is Brian. Okay, 1 year from now, we'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might see a...
By next year, it's two different guys on this podcast, and the last one of us is like half dead in the hospital. Like, the Scryer's Room will live on. David and Kyle, you need to pick up where we left off.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But today, trying to pick up the steam, we sort of lost because of technical difficulties.
Oh man, yeah.
I have a Vecna adjacent character, or Vecna ripoff character, I guess, because I think he's literally just a Star Wars nerd's version of Vecna.
Vecna, and that is
Lord Vitiate, which
Darth Vitiate. Is he not a Darth?
He is, but later.
Oh.
He predates the Darth title. Which is which is why I said that's Lord impressive. Vitiate.
Oh.
Because Darth came later, and then he is. It was more of like a...
He got grandfathered.
He got, like, tacked on.
Was Vitiate a Sith, like, species?
Yes.
Oh, there you go, then.
So, okay, yeah. That reminds me. Brief explanation. Kevin's like, what do you mean by that? And then...
Yeah.
So, the Star Wars Expanded Universe, you know, a.k.a. the Star Wars EU...
Can I real quick aside? Sorry. Damn you, Disney, for what you did to the Extended Universe. You harlots and charlatans. You vagabonds and scoundrels.
So, I'm not going to say the EU was, like, perfect or great.
I will.
But it was much beloved for various reasons. Parts of it were perfect and great.
Exactly. And they should have kept those parts. And
they kept some of them. They kept a little bit of it, but they really just sort of was just like, and it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Like, yeah, to everyone you can't do this to me. It's like you just shit.
It's like I like the movies enough, but like what I really love about Star Wars was that. Like,
That's a lot of people.
Just opinion. All the wacky, zany, and really cool bullshit that happened in the EU, and because it wasn't just it was a decades long thing. Like since the movies took off, it was like make books, baby, and then of course they fucking did. They sold and so it's the whole thing, comics. Video games, all that shit used to be wrapped up into the EU, and it was like a... The EU was Star Wars' version of how Tangled, like, 40K lore gets, basically.
Yeah, accurate.
And it's
like Oozong Vong and shit like
that. It is that confusing. Like, there are so many different, like, disparate elements that, like, don't connect at all. But
And authors not coordinating.
Exactly.
And so things are completely contradictory.
But they brute force nailed it together, and it was fine. Like, you know, it's just look at the parts that make you happy. You know,
isn't that what Star Wars is all over? Just
yeah,
look
it really
at the
is.
Parts that make you happy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Except for me, which and I need to know all of it. So. So that was how I got into the EU. Was I was just like, oh wow, there's
more to learn.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool shit, and then I eventually stumbled upon this guy, Lord Vitiate, who is. Basically, the follow-up to KOTOR 2, Knights of the Republic 2, which left things really open-ended with its storyline. And because the planned third game, very similar to like a Fallout situation, it was like in the works. But then it just got shut down. So what the... Knights of the Republic Online, the MMO was kind of their Fallout 3. It was like, because in Fallout, it was called the third game was originally called the Van Buren Project, and then they didn't end up making it, and it got bought by Bethesda, reworked. Sort of a similar situation. They took the core concepts that were planned, reworked it to fit an MMO, and then tried to expand the story from there. Which I think they did okay with. I don't know how it plays out via the game. I didn't play the game.
Right.
Can't
speak as to whether or not playing it was a good way to experience that story.
Yeah, but regardless of how it played, I think the story of Vitiate, of whether you think it makes sense or not, is really cool.
And that's what matters. Real cool.
That's, yeah. Like that's,
real cool is number one in this
one. That's all podcast. I need. And Vitiate is, like, considered... As far as Sith go in the timeline before the Disney acquisition, was probably either the only Sith to match Palpatine, Darth Sidious, in raw power / knowledge, or exceed him.
Right.
Because in the EU, Darth Sidious, aka Palpatine, is ridiculous. Same with Luke Skywalker. They're both just ramped up to, like, 1,000.
They're Super Saiyans in the EU.
Yeah, like, the Sidious can summon four storms that, like, ravage entire star systems. And,
oh, man, okay, what the fuck?
Which he... The explanation is, why wasn't he doing that before, is because, well, it was a secret plot. He was infiltrating the government. You can't just be causing, you know, like, natural disasters everywhere.
That'll make them really suspicious looking for evil wizards.
Which, you know, don't look too deep into it, don't think about it too much. It doesn't hold up, but that's the explanation given. And when he makes his return, which is explained in the EU instead of Sidious's return, somehow.
Fortnite.
No, in the EU, there is a Sith technique because there is, don't you know, Sith sorcery, which
sorcery.
Is, again, very similar to, I don't know which chicken or the egg situation, very similar to Warhammer sorcery in that, like, you're still just doing the thing, but in a different way. So it's like...
an evil way.
It's still forced shenanigans, but, like, somehow there's, like, a magical element to it that you can... if you do a ritualistic thingy, it does an X thing happens.
An evil thing.
Exactly. Sith sorcery. It's very secretive. Like, yeah. That's, like, a whole thing. And where Vitiate comes in is, so, also in the EU, way, way, way back, so... Knights of the Old Republic, for example, the games take place roughly 4,000 years before the events of the original trilogy.
Right, give them some breathing room.
And
hence the Old Republic.
Vitiate is roughly 1,000 years before that.
Okay, so...
and this is, so this is, air quotes, the ancient days, which is like...
5,000
It's years. Really, like, hard to think about in Star Wars terms, because it's, like, they talk about, like, the old empires, and they were star-faring civilizations. It's just, like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
5,000 years ago, Coruscant was merely a class 3 civilization. Barely able to leave their star system and kill people with laser swords.
It's wacky when you really try to think about it, but basically the takeaway you need, all you need, is that in the ancient Sith Empire slash the, like, even ancienter Old Republic, like, there was more secret knowledge available.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Sith aren't bound by the rule of two. Which is a thing in the...
yeah, the rule of two is someone else established
that. That happens way later down the line.
In the Old Republic, there's a shit ton of Sith, and they're fucking shit up. It's fucking nasty.
And, yeah, and it's, and the, like, the Sith... also, why I'd bring this up is because they were a species, not just an ideology.
Yeah, the Sith Empire was a species that, like, basically manifest destiny to a whole bunch of other species, and then they...
and then Sheev Palpatine is their final member. So,
yeah, pretty
much. Talk about fucking cultural appropriation by white.
Yup. There it is.
Which, hilariously...
The Great Replacement Theory!
Don't do that.
That sentiment is reflected by everyone who talked to the Force Ghost of an ancient Sith Lord. Fuck that Palpatine guy. Like, he's a maverick.
Really?
Yeah, like, wow. He's not doing, like...
he's not doing any of the
things. He's not doing evil correctly.
He's snobbish about your ability.
He spends all of his time in these massive meetings with all of his contractors to build death lasers, and virtually none of his time gutting Sleelark lizards in a cave, which you're supposed to do to please the Dark Ones.
So it's sort of a meme explanation, but it's fucking true, is that they're mad at him that he and Darth Plagueis, I should say, shifted the, like, main Sith mentality of, like, conquer ambition and, like, consolidation powers, like, whatever, no, to, like, it, which, it's like the logical conclusion of the rule of two, where it's just, like, Sith need to just not be in the open whatsoever. We are secretive, we are in the shadows, and we are now capitalists.
There it is.
They focused on business acquisitions and then political power. And it was just like, they went from this feudalism shit doesn't work. We just keep fighting each other. So instead, we're going to shift over to this model, you know, and it worked at the very, very end. It worked for a while.
Yeah.
Sidious had controlled the galaxy.
In order for there to be an empire, for there to be a rebellion against, he had to win for a while.
Yeah.
A long while. They built a Death Star.
So all of that is just to give you context. So there's an ancient Sith species.
Yeah.
Which later, because they are thought to have gone extinct, shifted to the Sith ideology. Which is because, it's a whole thing. The first Jedi were not the Jedi. They were the Jedi Order who...
don't you know.
Who practiced a balance of light and dark. And then they eventually had a schism. And then they turned into the Jedi Order and the Dark Jedi, who eventually found the Sith species and then taught them the ways to the dark side because they had a natural affinity to the dark side, the Sith species did. And so this combination of these Dark Jedi interbreeding slash teaching the Sith created the Sith Empire, which is like, that's when they turned into like, we are Sith Lords, and...
And it became more of a identity than just a species.
Yeah. It still tied to genetics. That makes sense. But it also became, by extension, an ideology.
Yeah.
Like, focused around the dark side.
Same, like, you know, a Roman citizen is from Rome, but you could also be part of the Roman Empire and be considered a Roman citizen.
Yeah.
And so, like...
And get rocks. They were just...
Yeah.
By the Republic's standards, they were in unknown space. The Sith were.
Mm-hmm.
That is Sith territory. It's the
Outer Rim.
What is the Star Trek one? The Alliance? The Federation?
Federation.
Yeah. It's the Federation slash, like, that's Romulan space.
Yeah.
It's that sort of divide. It's just like, we're technically enemies, but it's just like, it's too much to just start shit for no reason.
We can't spend all of our time shooting at every guy that we don't like.
Yeah. Unless there's a reason to go to war, they're chilling. And then the Sith are doing their own thing, the Republic's doing their own thing. And in that Sith Empire, at one point, during the reign of Mark Aragnos, who is considered one of the greatest Dark Lords of the Sith of all time.
For a little while.
There was born on the planet Meridus.
Sure.
To which his story mimics Vecna's in a lot of ways, but he's also very... It's going to take a very quick left turn to, like, the jokes I was making about Vecna. He's the exact opposite of that.
Oh.
So, on this planet of Meridus, there was a farmer and his wife. And unbeknownst to said farmer, his wife had relations with the lord of the planet, the Sith lord of the planet.
Good old cuckoldry.
I've come to bang all the peasant wives today.
Which
I call Prima Nocta.
And the result was a young boy, or a boy, who was named Tenebrae. And Tenebrae was a little different than all the other boys and gals.
Right.
In that he was very clearly in a species that is just like evil because they have a dark side affinity.
Mm.
Like, so all negative shit they're just like more cool with. He was noticeably like, don't be around that child. He's
evil. He's
his eyes were apparently pitch black.
Oh, man. That's not a good look.
He's like rocking the Omen look. Jesus Christ.
And at a young age, he began to manifest very potent dark side powers, seemingly out of nowhere. And would, so animals and other children would avoid him. And even his own mother was just like, I don't know about you sometimes. Like,
yikes.
And he did all the classic, like, you know, serial killer stuff. Like, he started, like...
Torturing animals.
Yeah, all that jazz.
Yeah.
But because he started manifesting, very obviously, dark side powers, neither the farmer or his wife were Force-sensitives. So he was like, why the fuck is he then? And then he confronts his wife about it, and then she admits to the infidelity with... the lord of the planet.
Yeah.
To which he's not okay with.
Yeah.
And attacks her. In front of a young Tenebrae. He's 6 years old.
Right.
Tenebrae, seeing this attack on his mother, feeds off of this man's negative emotions to fuel his dark side powers, snaps his neck.
Oh.
Metal.
Yeah. Then, for her infidelity, he tortures his mother.
Oh, there it is. I knew it. There's no way he's not going to get the mom, too. He's that evil. Oh, man.
So 4 months.
In my
head. 4 months!
4 months.
Oh, man, that's the so icing. Long. Yo!
For the betrayal of their family. Which, by his logic, is sound, I guess. Because she did, in fact...
How dare you conceive me, mother, you corn and harlot.
The stepfather betrayed the family that he was about to attack the mother, dead. You... betrayed me, technically, because I always thought I was that guy's kid, and I'm actually this other guy's kid. Sorry, Ma.
I have to rethink so much of my life. And then she's like, it's okay, you're only 4 years old. And he's like, shut up. And he hits her with the lightning, just,
yeah!
Yeah, and, again, he just feeds off the torment. He just naturally knows how to do this somehow. He's 6 years old.
God bless America.
And from there, he conquers the village.
Yeah.
And then goes to conquer the neighboring villages. And if you resist...
That's sick.
Guess what happens?
You get sent to the cornfield, bitch!
No, you get tortured very openly for a very long time. Which is fine with him. If you decide to serve him, great. I have more servants. If you deny me, I torture you to death. I feed off your negative emotions. I win either way.
Going to like one of the warlords.
Succulating their bad emotions.
And bonus, you're now an example. Yeah. So.
Brutal.
He's doing that for 4 years.
Till he's the ripe old age of 10.
And he has basically conquered the region. And it's no contest. Like, no one can stop him.
The government must be so mad.
He has been largely ignored.
Really?
Because rumors of a child who can just dominate people with tens to hundreds of people with their mind alone can torture them to death and is seemingly unstoppable. Please. I'm a Sith Lord. Get out of here. So his father, the Lord of the planet, initially ignores these rumors.
Yeah.
Until he turns 10 and it's, wow. Maybe I should look into this.
You're saying all of France fell under Kerry's control after the massacre at the high school? I guess we should take a look.
Pretty much. And so he goes to investigate. And he's a Sith Lord. He's justifiably arrogant. He controls a planet. And so he's just like, all right, I hear you're my son. I honestly forgot I fucked that one chick. Like, you know. He's just like, so what's going to happen here? Are you going to serve me or should I just kill you? And Vitiate's just like, I was going to ask you the same thing. And tortures him into insanity and severs his connection to the Force.
Oh, baby.
Doing it in such a fashion to long enough and potent enough and traumatic enough to reinforce in his father's mind that, like, you were never in control here. I was.
Yeah. I just hadn't walked my way to that side of the country yet.
So he breaks him entirely in mind, spirit, and body, and then kills him. It is like
brutal.
And then by the ripe old age of 13, he has conquered the planet.
Yee.
Any other local Sith lords that were governors that like tried to just be like the planetary ruler's dead? Sick. Now's my shot. You die.
And then just dead.
And then all the smart ones ran away.
Yeah, you get out. You don't serve that guy, you get out. You get out quick.
I'm imagining like that, you know, they're like red alien men or whatever. I'm imagining that they're Darth Mauls. There's like red alien men and but on Earth, like military garb who are like, now's our chance. We can take over this section and we can finally be free. And then like a little boy just like bursts into the room in like a big, like a black Palpatine cloak and he just lightnings them down.
Ah! So, that's a good point, actually. So I didn't describe what the Sith species look like because they're humanoid, but they're red skinned. They basically have like regular hair, but they're also they have the weirdest features. I don't know if it's just males, but they have like two little chin dangly things.
Are they made of flesh or bones?
Yes,
yeah, man,
they're fleshy. Oh. It's
like the one guy from Farscape.
Yeah, his beard is. It's hard to describe, but that is essentially what the Sith look like. Sort of like a Darth Maul, but they don't have like the marbling. They're just red.
Red. Yeah.
I thought that was like tattoos. On Darth Maul species.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, in the Old Republic game, you can get. They might be tattoos, but it looks like it's part of their skin. I'm not sure.
At least in KOTOR 2, you do get one of those guys as like a companion, and his marbling changes based on how you shift his alignment. So I don't know if that actually was canon, if that matters. Or
other species have different indicators. Like, our eyes turn yellow and our teeth get shitty and you turn into, like, a nutsack
skin. You get gray.
If you're too dark side. And meanwhile, they just get the sickest tattoos I've ever seen.
You know,
pretty good move.
As you can see, I'm a sickly monster now. And it's like, you're a sick as hell monster. I look like an old dying guy.
I turn into a scrotum.
Yeah.
But, so, Vitiate, Tenebrae at this time, conquers the planet and is not really challenged because... Yeah,
he's the best evil wizard there.
Like, to the other planets and stuff, the other Sith lords, they're just like, we were hearing rumors about this kid who fucking killed everyone and just took over a planet, like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, whatever, like, I guess that's happening over there.
Yeah. Not my problem.
But to legitimize? Yes. His rule, very brazenly, Tenebrae, of his own volition, went directly to Mark Arachnos, the Dark Lord of the Sith.
Mm.
And was just like, what's up? Clearly I'm a Sith
I'm
Lord.
Pretty chosen.
And then Mark Arachnos, being extremely powerful Sith himself, recognized in Vitiate, was just like, no, yeah, you literally are built different. I can tell that immediately. And you're 13 and you already took over a planet. Like, that's pretty dope. I don't know if you're insane or just, like, that good. But either way, congratulations, you are now Lord Vitiate. And so he bestows upon him the title of Lord Vitiate. And
now get the hell out of here. I don't want to have a wizard duel with you.
And yeah, Vitiate just goes back to his planet. Is just like, I'm officially recognized. Suck it. Whatever. Yeah. And then renames his planet from Meridas to Nethema. And after that...
It's just my sick, nasty, evil planet.
Literally changing it to half of Anathema.
Building his plant, his palace on his on the spot of his childhood home.
There you go.
For sentimental reasons, I guess.
I was born here.
Yeah, because of the good memories, you know?
Like, I tortured my mother to death here.
And you know, when I went to go visit Dad in the old planetary capital, he was kind of a dick about it, so I figured... Don't want to move in with at Dad's old house, so I'll just stick with Mom's.
And
then he drops a massive castle on it, just destroys the landscape all around it.
Yeah, he just kind of chilled for... That was it. Like, he just kind of just stayed in reclusion and was studying. He that was his whole thing. Was he was known as a recluse and, like, a basically a book nerd.
Right.
He was just... He was so into studying the forgotten secrets of the dark side, you know, that sort of
thing. I mean, it's only paid him dividends.
And other Sith lords would like call him a coward or something like because he would refuse to engage in like broader conflicts between Sith.
Yeah,
and he was just like, I don't care. I'm studying. And then so they gave him these labels of like you're a coward, like and all that shit. And he didn't care. He was just like, whatever.
You refuse to take sides in the War of Rakdos.
Well, because one of Vitiate's biggest opinions was that, like, the Sith model, like, of how they did things was, like, not great. Mm. And one of them being, like, how impulsive and rash they were. And so his whole thing was just like, no. Like, I'll still do everything as or more evil, but I'll do it with patience.
We'll think for a moment about it.
And yeah, so that's just what he was doing. And then, unfortunately, not from his perspective, this great hyperspace war broke out, which is like one of the first...
Hyperspace war?
One of the best, like, first big wars between the Republic and the Sith Empire.
Oh.
And that was like a whole thing, and he didn't participate.
He just didn't do it.
For the reasons I just stated.
He was still studying.
He was like, I'll deal with it if it comes up. Yeah. And the war ended, the Sith lost. And the Jedi and the Republic were like invading and sweeping through Sith space, and it was like a problem. Pretty sure
liberating planets.
Yeah, which
they did have a pretty good argument for it when they could point out, like, not only mystically are they evil, but literally culturally, they're like powered by evil.
Get them out of here.
That's in all their books. They're like, yes, of course, you have to throw the babies on the rocks.
It's a matter of opinion, sir. So that as that war was playing out, instead of participating, Vitiate was instead sending up broadcasts of just like, the Jedi will destroy us all. They're out to destroy our culture, our way of life. He was stoking panic.
Right.
Sounds about right.
Instead of helping, he was just like, you're going to die.
Not me, though. Pretty powerful.
All in the effort to get them scared enough so that he could then, once everything was lost, it was guaranteed that they were pretty much going to lose.
Yeah.
He'd just be like, I have a solution. By the way, you all called me a big nerd, but my studying has paid off. I found out a ritual. It'll save us all. I need you all to come to my planet.
Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him and his big bad
ritual. We're all evil here.
No. I don't trust this.
Nerd's finally participating and doing good rituals, which I presume will involve us killing a bunch of screwback lizards or something. And, you know, it'll be fine. So,
8,000 Sith Lords arrived on Nethema. And Vitiate immediately dominated all of their minds.
There you go.
Yep.
There you fucking go.
To force them to participate in his dark side ritual, which he had uncovered through his research, that took apparently 10 days to cast. And then once fulfilled, he ate the planet and everything on it.
There you go. There you fucking go.
And stripped them of their life essence and their connection to the Force. He literally stripped the planet and everything around it of its connection to the Force, creating a wound, which is I guess like a black hole of the Force or whatever. It's a whole thing.
The Force is everywhere in the Star Wars universe. Being where it isn't is catastrophic, I imagine.
And he did that. And by doing so, he absorbed all of it, becoming functionally immortal. Like, he cannot... He's ageless now, basically. Yeah. And his dark side powers, which were already ridiculous because he was just born different, were now amplified... By 8,000 Sith Lords and a planet.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, needless to say, he's pretty fucking strong. And then, after that, he immediately turns around and is like, guys, the Jedi destroyed my planet.
Can you believe it?
Look at what
it?
They did, those bastards.
It was so devastating, it created a wound in the Force. Can you believe that?
Guys, look what they did, the dastards.
Anyway, I have the solution. We need to go out and do it to an exodus to find a lost stronghold that we...
And everyone needs to come and as yeah, soon
this,
as you and can.
This is the only way you're going to live.
And they believe him again.
So he got basically all the Sith to go with him.
Oh my god, it's working. They're listening.
And then he Moses to them, where they spent 20 years, not 40 years, in the desert of space on purpose. He had already sent guys out to find this place years before.
Right.
And they found it. He had the hyperspace routes to just get there. But he was doing blind jumps for 20 years to make them reliant on him.
Right. You have no idea how far away we are or where we could be.
It's just like, it might seem hopeless, but you have me for 20 years. And then, so eventually they pretty much came to worship him as a god.
Yeah.
And then after 20 years, he's just like, we made it.
Look at that. Wow.
Isn't that crazy, guys?
Just like I said.
I told you. And so they arrive at the planet Dromon Kos, which...
Does that mean anything?
Does that ring a bell?
No.
That second Dromon word, Kos. Huh. He even said it as Kass.
There you go. Kass was Vecta's lieutenant.
Oh, yeah.
Or his general, rather.
So that's just me, like, drawing a line. Because it's K-A-A-S instead of K-A-S. But I'm like, come on. for the space lich, that to be his, like, capital planet. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, like, there's no way. and then he started creating his secret Sith Empire. Also, importantly, after the ritual, he stopped calling himself Vitiate. He is now just the Emperor.
There you go.
It's such a classic title. I know that when people say the Emperor, they're going to be thinking of this guy.
Yeah, I can't imagine what examples they used as the basis for that. It doesn't come up anywhere in sci-fi. So he did that and just created a secret empire. Like, everything was great. He was really good at it. And they prospered under his complete control, but they did, in fact, prosper. However, that's not enough for him, of course.
No, never.
The dark side leaving you wanting for more?
So.
Say it ain't so.
What he told everyone was, we're going to go back, we're going to go into seclusion, we're going to create a vast, a powerful empire again, and then we're going to retake everything we lost and kill those Jedi assholes. And everyone's just like, and then centuries pass, and that starts to fade from the public consciousness.
Right.
As he also fades from public view.
Right.
Because he's still doing dark side research and whatever, whatever. It may be initially that was the goal. But it turned into, actually, I don't give a fuck about ruling everyone. What I actually want to do is, I've found out the means of that ritual I did. I can scale it up.
Oh.
To a galactic level. So, I'm going to eat the galaxy in a repeat ritual, and I'm going to become
even more
the god of death. And I will have 100% definitively conquered death and be a god of an empty universe.
Just like I always wanted.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. What a monster.
Why do you think I shot my mom with lightning? You think it was because I'm stoked on all these people being in my universe? Yeah.
If anyone hasn't caught on by now, he's not a good guy.
He's not a good guy at all.
But he doesn't tell anyone that. Because we're going to reclaim our birthright and blah, 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 all that.
Yeah, sure, we'll go home, whatever.
But his empire, largely, like, he ran things in the beginning, but then he faded into the background so he could
right.
scheme. And he appointed his Dark Council of, it's like 12 Sith Lords or something, and they did the day-to-day. They ran things because he couldn't be bothered with that shit. And additionally, so a thing in the EU that many Sith are can do, it's like a secret air quotes technique, but all the ones that matter learn how to do it, is called essence transfer, which yes. is basically you learn how to take your life force and put it in a different body.
Right, you can hop souls.
Whether that's like you possess someone or you go the Sidious route, which I think the shitty Blast movie kind of did, but
implied it.
In the story they did very poorly that was based off the EU, the Dark Empire, I believe it's called. Sidious survived because he had made a fuck ton of clone bodies because he's a wizard. Of course he fucking yeah. did. And he could do essence transfer. And if you essence transfer into a clone body of your own, obviously it works really good.
Yeah.
That's how Sidious did it. Vitiate, on the other hand, had a different approach to it. Whereas I have my prime body, which is ageless and not indestructible, but damn near.
Right.
I'm going to tuck this away somewhere safe. This is my phylactery.
I've also only got like 3% body fat, and I've really got it looking the way I like. We're going to entomb that for a little while.
So he just seals his original body away, like protected in a secret location he didn't tell anyone about.
Yeah.
And what he does is he established it. They're called his hands, which are host bodies. So he just...
hops between them.
He can puppeteer multiple simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah, he's that much of a G.
So by the end, the only interaction his empire was actually getting with him was through his hands, which are just mouthpieces, basically.
Yeah.
But importantly, he can control more than one. And again, he's not satisfied with... I mean, this empire is great and all, but what if I had two? And I didn't tell this one about it. Yeah. And I just did that somewhere else. So he does that. So
okay, that explains, because one of the only things I know about this guy is that in the Old Republic, one of the expansions, he's like the leader of one of the factions. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that they show, is that the faction he's leading is attacking the Sith. Like, they're fucking them up. And I always, in my mind, was like, what, so did he go rogue or something? What's going on with that? No, he's just playing both sides. Yeah. What a jackass.
He's doing it for the plot.
He's doing it for the love of the game, dude. What a piece of shit.
He's immortal. He thinks long term.
Oh, the longest of cons.
So, and a lot of the times when he does something like that, it's because he's become aware of, like, you know, lost secrets or like technology that's forgotten to time or whatever. Yeah. And so in this instance, the secret empire is because he became aware of this fleet of ships that are automated by like an AI basically, uh-huh. and are like basically unstoppable. And they were hidden on this underneath this planet called Zarkul.
Zarkul.
And so he's just like, okay, man, it's Monday, I'm free. And he goes, he sends out a hand there and uncovers that. And then they are like a primitive society on that planet. Like, there's people there.
Right.
But they're like unga-bunga savages. And he's just like, I can work with this. So he turns one of their people into one of his hands. And that is Valkorion, who is the guy who's in all those trailers that you're probably familiar with. The like, Dos Equis, like, most interesting man in the world, yeah. but he's Star Wars. Like, yeah. that's that guy.
Yeah, you know?
That's
what he looks like.
I have
like.
No idea.
He looks like the Dos Equis guy commercial.
He really does. With Sith eyes and just,
and like, are they Grey Order or
and,
something?
Like, future armor. And no, so he... Getting that fleet of ships, which is called the Eternal Fleet, he's, like, sick. That's a good theme. So he creates the Eternal Empire.
There it is.
Okay. With Valkorion, his now host in that planet, taking the role of, instead of like a Sith Lord, as like a savior king who led his people into...
I want to try out this playthrough.
Literally that. He was just like, I've only played a certain angle so far. What happens if I do it differently? Like, what happens to an empire if I do that? Valkorion... And then Valkorion was very charismatic, very like, he was like the savior king who was going to lead his people into enlightenment, which he did in fact do in a sense. And then It's like
grinding all the miscellaneous skill trees
within
here.
The span of like it, my reading of it was like a century or centuries. He turned them into like a technological like fucking powerhouse of an empire, which was powered by the Eternal Fleet, which is like. It's a. I don't know the origins of that, like where that came from. It's one of the Star Wars.
From an ancient
system. Star Wars has a lot of that, of like lost technology from civilizations that existed however long ago. But all that's taking place simultaneously while he's running his Sith Empire. And then it comes time to. Everything's been set in motion, I think, pretty well. I've got my redundancy empire, just in case.
God bless. Just in case.
Let's start testing the waters on the Republic. But I'm the Emperor. I'm Vitiate. I'm so much of a fucking asshole. I'm not going to just directly attack them myself. I'm going to weaken them up a little bit first by making them fight each other.
Naturally.
Yeah.
So he sends a Sith emissary to Mandalore the Ultimate, who was...
A cocky motherfucker with that name.
The title of Mandalore is given to the current leader of the Mandalorian people.
Yeah.
And based on where you are in the timeline, Mandalorians are a little different. Like, I'm sure basically everyone knows what a Mandalorian is. But the contemporary idea of a Mandalorian, like from Mando, like the Mandalorian, the show, is very different from like Mandalorian back in
KOTOR days. Thousands of years ago.
Because kind of like the Sith, they were a species. They acted a certain way. And then eventually it kind of morphed into an ideology. And that became like the mercenary thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like Mando's a foundling.
Yeah.
He wasn't born a Mandalorian. It was just like, but back in, way, way back in the day, you were just born a Mandalorian. They were still notorious mercenaries and were known as like, you don't fuck with those guys unless you want to get fucked up.
Yeah.
But there was peace. Like the Republic let them do they were their own like sovereign thing.
They used to have organic backpacks of jetpacks and missiles that just grew out of their spines.
No. That would be the Yuuzhan Vong, I'm not going to get into.
That's an actual thing.
But he sent an emissary to Mandalore the Ultimate, the current Mandalore, to basically just be like, come on.
Buddy, guy.
What's this Republic shit, am I right? You're the Mandalore.
You can take
it. You should be in charge.
Oh, no.
And being a Sith trained, a purebred Sith trained by the Emperor, he was real good at mind shenanigans.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And so he basically just took his time and manipulated Mandalore into, like, you should start a war. You should start a war. And then he, don't you know, started a war.
There you go. Let's do it.
And that is the Mandalorian Wars in the Old Republic, which is, like... Right before the events of KOTOR 1 and 2, like, that just happened. Like, that was, like...
The Mandalorians got all pissed off and started fighting everybody.
Yeah, that was, like, years to decades, like, a couple decades ago. Okay. And that's where, like, so the events of KOTOR 1 take place pretty much immediately after that. But the context for that is, during the Mandalorian Wars, the Jedi were very hesitant to, like, commit forces to that. Because it was Jedi reasons. I don't know. But many Jedi... Knights did not agree with them and wanted to go to war. Like, they're just like, this is fucked up. This is an unprovoked attack.
Yeah.
Like, we should go out and protect people. It was a huge, like, ethical problem for them.
Lightsabers are cooler than blasters. Got them.
You know? But eventually, a young Jedi Knight by the name of Revan.
Oh, baby.
Prodigy of the Jedi Order.
Oh, baby. I know that name.
And his best friend, Malak, decided to rebel. And then they led a similar-minded group of Jedi to go and fight in the Mandalorians. And Revan was instrumental in the Republic's win because he was considered for the time to be the Republic's slash Jedi's like greatest strategic military mind.
Mm.
Like, he was brilliant in that regard. Like, he was the strategist. And so with Revan's help slash, like, Jedi coming in, aiding in, like, front lines and shit, they managed to push the Mandalorians back and get them. They won, which ended with a duel between Revan and Mandalore the Ultimate, where Revan won. And Mandalore, as he's dying, because death apparently loosens up some manipulations that are going on in your brains,
yeah.
He's like, oh, fuck, I think I was tricked. By the way, the Sith are still alive. Blah. And Revan's like, nani? Like, what?
Buck.
Ooh, I wish I learned 4CPR right now.
So, with that revelation, he's like, shit, okay. He takes his mask, by the way. That's Revan's sick-ass mask. That's the mask
of Mandalore.
Which is like the symbol of the seat of office for the Mandalorians at that
time. And that I was wondering, because they have the icon for their thing is that mask, but the mask is gone. Because Revan took it?
Mm-hmm.
What a G.
He didn't take it. He won it.
Well,
fair and square.
Yeah, fair and square. That's how you get it. Yeah.
That's how you win the
mask. That's fucking metal, dude. Holy shit.
So he's like, that's a huge problem. The council's already really mad at me.
They're really not going to take more bad news.
Basically, fuck it. Malik, we're going to go out into the unknown regions and we're going to try to figure out like how this happened. He just told me Sith are still around. The species. And it's like, ah. And so they go there. They find the secret Sith Empire. And it's just like, that's a problem. And
I was really hoping it was just one planet. That's an empire.
And there's just like, well, what do we do about this? And so they try to like, they spend like months to like maybe a couple years like trying to figure out what's happening here, like who's running this show, and then they learn a Vitiate, the Emperor. And then it's just like, all right, well, we know about him, he doesn't know about us, we're gonna get him. But unbeknownst to them,
it's a perfect plan. We're two renegades with nothing to lose.
Yes sir.
I hope by now you've realized Vitiate is such a bastard. Of course he knows.
Yeah. How wouldn't he know?
And
he was probably watching the battle.
Not only did he know, he baited them there. So
there you go.
I was going to say, he's probably one of them.
In their travels.
He's like, oh yeah, it's really smart.
He very purposefully left. It's called a Datacron. So you might be familiar with holocrons. That's the
triangles.
The Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi, like little projection thingies. A Datacron, I assume, is just letters. It doesn't matter. He left one there, and it like gave hints to like, Lord Vitiate, the secrets of the lost Sith or whatever. And Revan's just like, oh my god, like this is groundbreaking. Like, we're gonna get him. And Vitiate's just like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, fucking breadcrumb.
So, they think they have the element of surprise and they go to confront him, which he doesn't stop them. Nor does his like guard. They're just like, we're here to see the Emperor. And he's like, okay.
I bet, basically.
Yeah, like, if you want to.
Come on in, man.
I don't recommend it, but.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. Are you sure? Like the guard just being like, you sure you want to go in there,
man? Aren't you his guard? Why are you letting us in there? Oh, no, no. I guard the door. Yeah. He doesn't want anyone kicking in his really nice door. I have to stop people from kicking it in, and I open it for them. I won't help if you scream in there. So go on through.
So Revan and Malik go in, ready to have epic final confrontation with the Sith Emperor.
Yeah.
And they go in and basically are immediately hit with, like, actually, you work for me now. And they're just like, rawr, rawr, and
he's mind controls them?
Yeah.
I was wondering, okay,
it's a planetary threat, and they're two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Revan was a prodigy, but he ate a planet.
He's a prodigy. Unfortunately, Vitiate is a prodigy 1,000 years ago and has eaten quite a lot of dudes since then.
And so, at that time, after that moment, he appoints them as Darth Revan and Darth Malik. You now work for me. I've come to know of this lost technology called the Starforge. Go and claim it for me. And it's like, yes, my lord. And then they go and do that. The Starforge is the plot of the first KOTOR game, basically.
Okay.
It's fueling the then Sith threat, which was originally ruled by Revan, and then after he was betrayed by Malik, and the Republic couldn't figure out where they're getting all these fucking ships from. They're pumping out ships like it's candy, and it's just like, it shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And that was as a result of the Starforge, which is the technology of a old dark side race called the Rakata. It's a whole thing, but it's a dark side space station that is like sucking up plasma from a star. And is also fueled by the dark side.
Double metal.
And in turn amplifies dark side energies. So Revan and Malik, they find it, and they're still dominated by the Emperor. But then they show up, and because nobody understood what the Starforge truly was. It had an effect on Revan and Malik to the point where it kind of broke them out of his dominance, Vitiate's dominance.
Oh, wow.
And so they were able to be independent.
But they were still evil?
But we're still evil.
That's funny.
Sorry, we've already fallen to the dark side. And so it's just like, actually, it's my Starforge now. And Revan is just like, I'm going to be the new Dark Lord of the Sith. I'm going to take over the Republic. We're going to fix up this mess, and then we're gonna go kick that guy's ass
for what he did.
Because he's a dick, and he made me like this. But I'm cool with it now. But not the way
I've come to accept it. But I'm still salty.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it's the events of KOTOR 1, where that whole thing goes down. When the Jedi and Sith are fighting, Malak betrays Revan. It's a whole thing. Revan is presumed dead. Malak now is the new Dark Lord of the Sith. He controls the Starforge. Revan didn't die. Spoilers, that's the big twist of the first KOTOR game, is you, the player character, are Revan. You were so severely injured that basically your mind was destroyed. And not really destroyed, but you were
amnesia.
Yeah, like to the nth degree. And your life force was preserved by the one of the Jedi Knights who led the Strike Force to come and get you, Basta Lashan. And she managed to preserve your life for reasons. And that established a connection between him and her. And then the events of KOTOR 1 take place, where it's you think you're just a guy. And then you gather your party, Basta Lashan being one of the main ones. You learn how to be a Jedi again. And they're just like, oh, wow, you're really good at this. That's crazy. You've learned in like 2 weeks what people take like 10 years to learn.
I love it, dude.
And suspiciously fast, one might say.
Yeah, and then you're just like, wow, this is cool. I love being a Jedi. And then you go and confront Malak for the first time. And he's just like talking mad shit and saying stuff that you're just like, what do you mean by that? And he's just like, oh, and it's the big twist of the game where he's just like, oh, you don't know. He's like, wow, that's like sad.
I knew I got you. I didn't know I got you like that.
He's like, look, as your former best friend who betrayed you and loved it, like the Jedi betrayed you too. Like they gave you all those memories you have. Those aren't real. Like they put that in your brain. They changed you into something else because you were a really valuable asset. And you're like, what? No way. And yeah, it's like a huge, it's a really good twist. I'm making it sound funny, but it's 20 years old by this point. So
my favorite part about that twist is I think it's Malak who the guy who all but tells you like, no one gets stronger by killing people, idiot. Like,
yeah,
that's not how things work. You're getting XP and getting stronger. No one else does that, fucking idiot. What did you think was happening?
He was like, do you really think you learned how to be a Jedi Knight in like a month?
Yeah.
He's like, that just doesn't happen. That doesn't
work. You take
like that.
Babies like, to start teaching them.
Exactly.
Anytime you can fold in like the video game's mechanics of like leveling up and like the power creep and stuff, and then have like an in-game explanation of like, that's unnatural. You're not supposed to be doing that, guy. Like, I love that stuff.
It is chef's kiss. It's really like, good.
Yeah, it's really good.
But the whole point is it plays out. Canonically, you do the good ending. Mm. You defeat Malak. You destroy the Starforge. But also canonically, or what was previously canonical, is that Revan, then, I now remember more of what happened to me. Like, my memory has been fucked with so many different times. Like, and so at this
people
point...
People keep brainwashing me.
Yeah, he starts to actually remember, like, what really happened when he and Malak went into unknown space and confronted, and found the secret Sith Empire and confronted their Emperor. And he's just like, well, I gotta do something about that. And then he recruits his former general, who is the protagonist of KOTOR 2, Mitra Surik, who's canonically a Jedi Knight woman. And she's important because the events of that game is she used like an evil device, which was like part of Vitiate's plan, maybe, and became a wound in the Force, and a bunch of other people did too. It's a whole fucking thing. But yada, yada, yada. At the end, she meets back up with Revan, and they're just like, sick. Power squad, let's go get him. And they try to do that, and then they like team up with a guy because Revan had been like imprisoned for a good amount of time because he initially tried to go do it by himself and it didn't go well.
He went renegade again and failed again.
And yeah, the Emperor just imprisoned him, and it was just like, you're actually like a real problem, but you're also one, really strong in the Force, and two, you know a lot of shit about like the Republic, and you're really good at military tactics. I'm just gonna put you in like suspended animation and use you like a battery. And so he did that for quite a while. A
greener energy source than eating a whole planet at once.
But it's like part of Revan's imprisonment is that like eventually some other Sith lords from like the Council / Lord Scourge, who's, I just love that name. And another one teamed up, and they found out Revan's being held And then they tried to, like, they also found out, those two, that they started, investigating the Emperor's past and found out about Nethima. It was just, and then they uncovered, oh, he ate this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they uncovered the greater plot of, oh, he wants to do this.
He's going
to
eat all of us.
Grand scale.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, that's not what he said he was going to do, so we should probably try to stop him. And so they started a conspiracy, and then part of that was, like, they eventually got, like, control of Revan, where his prison was, and were, like, trying to interrogate him. And eventually, through shenanigans, Revan ends up killing the one Sith Lord. And then, but the other one, who functioned as, like, a... I don't know. I think he was part of the council, but I think he was also a guard for Vitiate. But either way, he actually admired Revan's, like, tenacity. Mm-hmm. Like, he never broke under torture or all that stuff.
He was like,
you're actually pretty cool. I respect that. And so he eventually, after the whole, like, Revan killed the other Sith Lord, they teamed up. And then with Mitra Surik,
unlikely allies,
they formed a squad ready to go get Vitiate.
Yeah.
And so they try to do that. And it's actually going pretty well. Like, they show up, and then Revan, because of his unique circumstances of Jedi being turned to the dark side, being redeemed, and then being tortured to get a bunch by, like, dark side dudes, he is now, like, a balance of dark and light. He can use dark and light side powers in ways that are, like...
usually exclusive.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, like Force Lightning is a dark side exclusive power, and he can probably just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is still... sense. Of the light somehow, yeah. Like, or at least the majority is.
Yeah.
And so he, Mitra Surik, and this Lord Scourge dude confront Vitiate, and they have, like, a sick ass duel, and they're actually, like, holding their own. Because of Revan's weird combination, it actually throws Vitiate off, where he's, for, like, the first time in, like, living memory,
he was surprised.
Yeah, he was taken aback, yeah. And was just like, that, like, kind of hurt. The fuck? Extra lightning. And yeah, so it was mainly a conflict between Revan trying to suppress him using his unique combination, mm-hmm. and then Mitra Surik and the other guy providing backup as light and dark, respectively. Mm-hmm. And it was a good combo. It was working. Until Scourge had a vision. Because premonition is a thing.
Yeah.
It just happens. And he has a vision that, like, Vitiate doesn't die here. We are not the ones to succeed. Someone else does that.
That's bad news for the party.
Yeah. A protagonist of a different game does that. That sucks.
Means I gotta go, right?
I kind of liked these people. Now I gotta stab you in the back, literally. And he stabs Mitra Surik in the back, killing her.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Which breaks Revan's concentration, because that's, like, one of his, like, best friends.
Yeah.
And then Vitiate is able to overpower him. And then Scourge is just like, my lord... as you can see, I've been playing Long Con.
That was what I'm going to call psych, my lord.
And Vitiate, being a bastard himself, is just like, okay, prove it, kill him. Kill Revan right now. And he goes to do it.
Okay, yeah.
He will, like, because he's just like, I saw the future thing.
We
like,
don't
yeah,
do it. Yeah.
Sorry,
like,
baby.
I really did like you, but sorry. And then he's about to kill him, and he only stops at the last second because Vitiate tells him to. And he's like, all right, yeah. I believe you. How'd this happen? He's like, well, your council betrayed you. He's like, lightning! And it kills all of them except Scourge and promotes him.
Great job, Scourge. You sold them all out.
And then Revan
gets fact-checking.
Put back in his box and is now a battery.
Back in the freezer.
But this had the unintentional effect of Revan, with his unique blend of force powers /
corrupt.
He has a connection to the Emperor because of just the shit that's happened between them. Like, he dominated his mind, all that. He's able to exploit this connection extremely subtly to influence Vitiate so that he slows down. He can't stop him.
Right.
But he slows him down. So, in effect, Revan managed to stop Vitiate's invasion plan of the Republic by a few centuries. Which was very good for the Republic.
Yeah, they needed to recover from the Mandalorian War.
Because they fought the Mandalorian Wars. Then the Sith came back again and was just like, what the fuck? So they needed time to recover. Revan gave them that. Without Vitiate ever knowing.
Yeah.
The most powerful living, like, force being at the time.
Yeah.
And so that whole thing happened, but he could only slow him down. Eventually, he did invade.
Yeah.
And it was a whole fucking thing. And they kind of just steamrolled.
Yeah.
Because, number one, the Republic had no idea. And two, he had access to basically, like, secret hyperspace routes that the Republic weren't aware of.
I found them while I was taking that 20 years just zapping around randomly.
So they did, like, a galactic ambush, basically. It's just like they popped into so many different star systems simultaneously and were able to just sweep initially.
And if I recall correctly, that's the opening cinematic of Old Republic, the MMO, is that the Sith just basically just yeet into
place. That is the Eternal Empire.
Oh.
That's his redundancy empire.
Wait, no. Okay, yeah.
The Sith Empire. So one of them, though, that is the Sith Empire is Darth Malgus, the guy with the...
The breather? Yeah,
he invades the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, the original.
That one, yes. Yeah, he is part of the Sith Empire.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
But the ones with, like, Valkorion and all that, that's the...
Yeah, those are the other... Yeah, I figured that.
But, yeah, Malgus is a big one for that, like, time period. But pretty much the Sith swept and were doing really well. The Republic managed to put up a fight, mostly in part to the time Revan gave them. But they were losing. It was obvious. And at the moment of, like, total defeat, for some reason, Vitiate stopped. Revan pulled through again. Because of his influence, and because of Vitiate's actual mindset, he doesn't actually care about conquering anything. It's all about, I just need the conditions to be correct for me to do my ritual, and I can eat all of you. I don't actually want to rule any of you.
Yeah.
And so Revan exploited all of that to make it, to basically ramped up his caution and paranoia to be like, just do an armistice. It's fine. You can...
That's not even the point.
Yeah, like, if you need to conquer them, you can just do that. I'm like, but just call it off. Continue researching. So he did that. And no one knew why. The Republic and the Sith were just like,
What do you mean by
that? Yeah, like, what... The Republic being like, I mean, if you want to, hey, but cool. We weren't struggling or anything. And then the Sith are just like, we got them. Like, what do you mean? And so that created like a lot of turmoil. They entered into like a Cold War period, pretty much. And it was like a whole extended thing. And that is my understanding of where the MMO begins.
Okay.
You are now the protagonist that Scourge saw in his vision. And it is now your duty to go and defeat the Emperor.
Oh, fun.
And so you play through that whole storyline. At the end, you are aided by many of the characters I just talked about. Some of them as, like, Force ghosts and whatever.
Yeah.
All of them necessary for you to be able to combat the Emperor, who is a space lich. Which is, like, a you know, big deal. But you get his ass, you think. You kill him.
Yeah.
But... as we've discussed, he puppeteers multiple hosts at the same time.
That wasn't even his real body.
So the Sith Empire, that got defeated. Like, they did it. The Republic won that one.
Yeah.
And Vitiate was just like, this is bullshit. You know what? Fuck Sith. All that shit. Over here. I'm doing this thing now. And that's the Eternal Empire. He just fully invests into the Eternal Empire as Valkorion. And is like, Revan... I don't get it. He could do shit I'm the best. He could do stuff I couldn't do. What's up with that? He had this whole thing where he's like, I love my wife. And he's like, is that it? Having a wife do something? So he gets a wife. Yeah. It starts having and has children.
Because the cinematic is just, those are actually his sons? Yes. That's interesting. So I thought they were good. Okay, wow. Holy fuck.
So he starts family as in his guise of the immortal god king Valkorion, and it's seemingly goes pretty well. Like, he has a thriving empire, basically a mirror situation with what happened with the secret Sith Empire. But he takes his wife, who on Zarkul, they are force users, they're force sensitive, but he doesn't train them as Sith. They're still like dark side oriented.
I thought they were gray Jedi. But not the literal gray Jedi, but like they do both. They're like a balanced thing.
Yeah.
Because they have the lightsaber.
It's a whole thing. So like...
he was trying to do a different kind of playthrough.
Something that people don't understand a lot about Star Wars is that it's not just Jedi and Sith. There's a lot of different like force philosophies.
Yeah.
It's just Jedi and Sith are the big ones. Those are the ones that are like... have like galactic sway. But there's a bunch of other ones. And then he basically just kind of created his own. So like the Knights of Zarkul are just like... basically a blend of, like, the Imperial Guard, you know, like, the red dudes.
Yeah.
Who are claimed to be, like, equivalent to, like, a Jedi Knight, even though you never see that. But, like, a blend of that plus they can do some Force stuff. And, like, that was his, like, pretty much, like, his primary, like, fighting force. And so he takes one of them as his wife. Senya Tyrell. And then he has three children with her. His twin sons, Arkan and Thexan. And then his daughter, Valen. Arkan and Thexan are taught, you know, the ways of the Force and, like, lightsaber combat and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Eternal Empire is ready to deploy, they function as his, like, pretty much his generals. His like, strike force. And they lead the charge on the Republic and Sith. Which, mirroring, again, the secret Sith invasion that no one is ready for.
Yeah.
Like, what is the Eternal Empire of Zarkul? You're making up words. And so they kind of start sweeping. And that's, like, the cinematic of for that, like, you know, that trailer?
Yeah.
The two sons going around, and then one of them gets injured,
mm-hmm.
and he gets a classic, you know, Vader face thing, and he's clearly, like, becoming evil.
Very, very bitter about
it. But he's got his twin brother there. He grounds him, you know. Yeah. Like, and they go out, and they fucking conquer. They're not having any issues. They show back up. They want daddy's love.
Daddy's indifferent.
Yeah, daddy doesn't give a shit.
Daddy can look at him. We don't give a fuck.
And Arkan, the one who got fucked up, gets a little mad about it. And he's just like... So he in anger... tries to attack him. And then his brother, Thexan, being more level-headed, tries to stop him. He yanks him back with the Force. And then Arkan, in his anger, though, starts attacking him.
Right.
And then they start lightsaber dueling, and he not meaning to, he kills Thexan.
Right.
Which immediately, he like, devastates him. That's his twin brother. And it, like, he like, has, like, a...
It's like I killed my own uncorrupted reflection.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the vibe. Yeah. And then... But he turns around, and then for the first time ever, Valkorion is extending his hand to him, proud.
There it is. There's my boy.
Yep. It's like, yeah, I've been waiting for one of you to kill each other. Like,
I can't believe.
And that was the first time...
Making daddy proud.
Yeah. He showed anything close to, like, affection.
By the time I was your age, I'd killed everyone genetically related to me.
Yeah, and then his daughter, Valen, he actually was sort of wary of, because she was the most like him.
Oh.
And that she was exceptionally strong in the Force from, like, basically since birth.
Uh-huh.
And she learned extremely quickly. So Vitiate being, or Valkorion, being the way he is, was just like, I'm sure it's not a problem. You could become a rival. So I got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Even though you're my daughter. Sorry. So he sent her to, like, a temple to be brainwashed and put through, like, conditioning. She literally has like a deactivation phrase.
Oh man,
yeah. So he put that
he
much
gives her a small
thought
wonder.
Into it because he was that worried she might become a problem.
Yeah,
but she's not a problem until down the line where that whole thing happens, and then that's like the extended storyline of the MMO is you thought you defeated Vitiate, that was just an incarnation. Now he shifted over here and he has a redundancy empire, don't you know? And we have to deal with that now. And it's like, fuck, okay, sure. So you do that, and then it plays out where, in the very end, when you're confronting them, Arkan turns on his ass and stabs him. Kills Valkorion.
Oh, yeah.
And Valkorion's just like, on the one hand...
I'm very proud of
it's
you.
Like, yeah, it's just... I've never felt such pride in someone else, but on the other, it doesn't do anything for how pissed I am right now. But luckily, he's really good at that whole essence transfer thing, and so yeah. He goes into the player character.
Oh, fuck.
And hides out there for a while, and starts to play your ass in the role of, like, occasional helpful mentor. I was evil. It doesn't mean I can't help you in the situation you're in right now. Right?
Guy.
And
I still have a PhD from Georgetown.
Basically, it plays out to that...
Isn't that the premise of Jujutsu Kaisen? Is like the guy possessing him is like, I'm not evil, I'm just your buddy, guy! Until the second he's like, gets a chance and he possesses him.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And
he is like a completely heartless, evil dickhead similarly... Where it's like, there's no chance that he's going to turn around like Naruto and be like, no, we're bros now.
I'm friends with the QB.
That is, in fact, Vitiate's plan.
Yeah.
He is manipulating you to fight to the heart of the Eternal Empire, where the Eternal Throne is, which controls the Eternal Fleet. Don't you know? and
keeps it on brand.
Currently, Arkan is in control of that, so you have to go confront him. And that's Vitiate's plan. It's like, I just got to get close enough I dominate him, and then I put myself back on the throne. Everything's good.
Yeah.
And it, so you try to, he tries to do that, but the whole thing, you know, it's the final boss encounter. And so you have a battle in like your mindscape, and people have to like show up to help you and shit, like force ghosts of like Meet Surik and Revan and stuff.
That's fun.
To have a battle with you know, the aspect of the Emperor Vitiate, and you win. You beat him.
Yeah.
Ha ha, the Eternal Empire is defeated. But is Vitiate? Because he is a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And no, he's not. Because he had a redundancy for this, because of fucking course he did. At some point, he modified his original body to have a curse placed upon it that if it was destroyed, it would set in motion a, like, force plague that would give him the conditions for that his spirit could return. And two Sith Lords, meaning well, tried to go do that.
Right.
And destroyed his body, because, like, of course, you gotta destroy the Lich's phylactery, and it's just like, actually, curse! And I'm back! And
oh, man.
There is one final confrontation with him, where all three of his core aspects manifest, Tenebrae, Vitiate, and Valkorion, and you have to battle them, and then it's Avengers Assemble. Everyone shows up.
Everyone who's ever been in any of these games. Like,
The Force Ghosts of...
Luke Skywalker from the future. Yeah. Comes in on a DeLorean, like, yeah.
No. I was about to say that happened, but no, I'm thinking of a different EU villain.
My goodness, okay.
That does happen, though. People have sent Force Ghosts from the future to do... Anyway.
Star Wars is silly.
It is.
That's why Qui-Gon didn't bother talking to Obi-Wan until, like, way later.
Don't worry about it.
He was busy doing time travel shenanigans.
The EU is crazy. So, he manages to do that, and then it's like, Meet Your Cirque's Force Ghosts, Revan's Force Ghosts, blah, blah, blah. His family's Force Ghosts, slash the ones who are still alive. Arcan is still alive. His mother, who realized Vitiate was just like, hey, maybe our children shouldn't be, like, murderers and, like, super evil. He's like, you're worrying too much.
At the very least, we shouldn't be encouraging their fratricide.
So, yeah, pretty early on, when she realizes that, like, he's corrupting, he's always been corrupted, and she got tricked, and he is now corrupting their children, she turns on him, and goes rogue. Tries to save her children, who currently is Arcan and Valen.
Yeah.
Valen is too far gone. She tries to save her. That's actually a trailer. It's pretty cool. She tries to confront Valen and bring her back, and then but she's just evil now. Sorry. And then she tries to. She then basically saves Arcan at one point. After which Valen takes over the Empire for a little bit. Yada yada. I forget the exact timeline, but the penultimate moment is his family, including the ghost of Valen, because you kill her before these. Shows up because fuck you, Dad. You brainwashed me, and I was cool with being evil, but I wanted to do it on my terms.
I wanted to be evil for a little longer.
And it's a you know, like, Vitiate is still Vitiate. He's putting up a fight. Like, he ate a planet, and until the Force goes, or until the spirits of all the people he's ever fucking eaten or wronged show up.
Oh, man.
And they swarm his ass.
Spirit bomb ass. Holy fuck.
Yeah, and he all but, like, there's nothing he can really do about it, because he's also fighting actual, like, Jedi Sith shit. And, yeah, he has a, like, choke on it moment, and is Vitiate
ripped apart.
Is obliterated. Yeah. Like, because at that point, he's not really, like, a guy anymore. He was, like, he was a Force entity.
Yeah.
Now, he had transcended, like, physicality. But they managed to, they think, entirely obliterate him. And it seems to have worked. Especially because Disney just said, nah.
Yeah, happen. I was going to say, it's up to them at this point.
Yeah.
So.
But that is a very brief version of the story.
It's also a very Vecna story. That is a man who...
Yeah, he's like Space Vecna. That is Space Vecna.
As I was, like, reviewing to, like, go through and, like, brushing up on shit, I was just like, it's... Like, some D&D nerd was just like, I got it. I got a really cool idea. And, yeah, it like how The one dude, whoever ripped off Jack Kirby when he made Darkseid,
yeah,
he was just like, well, this is my OC, Thanos, who's almost exactly the same.
Oh, like Thanatos. Nothing like Thanatos. Nothing like any of that. It's our own new thing.
And, yeah. If last thing I'll say is, if you're not familiar with KOTOR, whether it's just KOTOR 1 or 2, or the MMO, or any of the stories involved, or the EU of Star Wars, check it out. It's pretty cool. You'll probably find something that you're like, that's cool, even though it's really dumb at the same time.
And it's great because there's like more coming out now, right?
Yes, yes. That was a good point. That was the main reason I wanted to bring this up, because they just did a KOTOR announcement, which caught everybody off guard. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see if they can keep it going.
Perhaps Tenebrae is not dead.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool if they keep him the villain.
If there was one character, it was just like, he somehow was just like, no, it would be him.
Right?
Yeah.
And with that, I'm going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the nature of this content, go ahead and give me a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can also support us on our YouTube channel with a membership. You can follow us on Blue Sky, or you can support us on our Patreon. And I'd like to give a special thanks to our aspiring maggots, Uncle Maddie, and a super thanks to our fellow Scryers, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Goblino, The Greater Good Boy, and my mom. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.